The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
I like this comment from a listener. Donald Trump launched his re-election campaign the week of his inauguration, and he's been having rallies for the last 2 years. Well, we've lots to talk about with Marion McKeown and Kyle Thomas. But to tee it all up, let's hear what has gone viral. This is an extract from an interview that Donald Trump has done with George Stephanopoulos for American television. Just have a listen to this.
When you will see my financial statement at some point, I assume it's going to be released, you'll be very impressed with the job I've done. Much, much bigger, much better than anybody. They're after my financial statement, the Senate. They'd like to get my financial statement. At some point, I hope they get it.
You're going to turn it over?
No, at some point, I might. But at some point, I hope they get it because it's a fantastic financial statement. It's a fantastic financial statement. And let's do that over. He's coughing in the middle of my answer.
Yeah, okay.
I don't like that, you know?
Your chief of staff.
If you're going to cough, please leave the room.
Get a shot of, and I'll come over here.
You just can't.
Just to change the shot.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, do you want to do that a little differently then?
Yeah, we just changed the angle. Okay. Yep, thank you.
So at some point, I look forward to, frankly, I'd like to have people see my financial statement because it's phenomenal. No, it's not up to me. It's up to lawyers. It's up to everything else. But they're asking for things that they should never be asking for, that they've never asked another president for. They want to go through every deal that I've ever done. What they're doing is a disgrace.
What other presidents have turned over?
They're trying to do step. They want to keep it going as long as possible to try and demean and hurt as much as possible so they can possibly win the presidential election.
Two things there. His chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, been treated effectively like a minion, dismissed from the room because he had the audacity to distract his president by a cough. But secondly, what a crock in relation to his financial affairs. This idea, Kyle Thomas, that he couldn't release his financial affairs, that he is being unfairly pursued for the documents, which are fantastic. And sure, if he had nothing to hide, why wouldn't he just hand them over?
Well, let's deal with a couple of things, Matt. First of all, I've been on both sides of interviews in my career in television, and I've often had to interrupt them because of a technical problem, someone coughing, or some other interruption. So that's not unusual in television. And Donald Trump, who, of course, was the host of The Apprentice on NBC for many years, knows television very well. So I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem with 30 hours spent with George Stephanopoulos, the former Bill and Hillary Clinton aide, and why would he do this? I mean, I don't get it. And then they take this little excerpt out of 30 hours just to make him look bad. I agree with you on the financials. I mean, look, let him release them. If they're so great, why not? What's he got to hide? No problem.
Yeah, but the fact that he won't, does that not make you very suspicious, Kyle?
Well, look, leading up to the election, whatever is going to be discovered in his financials is going to be used against him. This is all part of a process. We're a year and a half before the election. All these pollsters coming out with things this early, which are completely meaningless because the Democratic nominee has not been selected yet. They haven't even had the first debates among Democrats, much less a debate with Donald Trump. So all of this stuff is designed to make him look bad and to discourage his base of supporters and to think that he's doing badly. Let's remember, 4 years ago when he came down on the escalator from Trump Tower, the poll showed that there was no way he was going to beat virtually every Republican in the race, and there were about a dozen of them in the race at the time, as I recall. But, of course, he wound up winning the election. So all of this is not, by chance. It's by design.
Okay. Marion McKeown, there's a number of things in relation to this. It almost seems like give him a free pass in relation to his financial affairs because it'll only be used against him. But there's two things that immediately strike me that he must have a worry about. One is that he has done things which are bordering on illegal, or secondly, that it'll actually show that he's nowhere near as rich as he's always claimed to be. What do you reckon it is?
I think it could be both, actually, to be quite honest. I suspect very strongly it would be. But just in response to what Cal said there, Cal, there's no conspiracy to make President Trump look bad. The only person who makes Donald Trump look bad is himself. Speaking to his chief of staff like that is absolutely outrageous. Yes, a cough can be distracting, of course it can, but you know, there's a polite way of doing it, there's a respectful way of doing it, and to treat his own chief of staff like that, it just reinforces what Trump's cabinet amazingly don't seem to know. He has no loyalty to anyone but himself. Personally, I think it was a ploy to play for time because he was trying to wriggle out of George Stephanopoulos' question. And this thing about my financial statement, we're talking about tax returns. It's ordinary tax returns that every other presidential candidate in the history of America practically have released. And so what is the big fuss? Why does he keep playing this game? It's completely absurd. And, you know, he came across looking arrogant, looking slippery, and looking downright stupid, I thought, with the parsing of words and the brash claims about his financials being so fantastic, and yet he couldn't release them and stumbling over the lawyers. The whole thing was, I thought, a bit of a farce.
Okay, but Marion,
he did himself no favours.
Marion, what's he likely to do to get himself re-elected, do you think? Because he's not going to have a wall to show. And you could think, you can imagine the Democrats mocking him for failing to build any of the much vaunted wall with Mexico. But there are reports now that he's going to look to deport millions of people beginning next week. Could that be his big election trick, to be seen to be deporting millions upon millions of people?
Absolutely. I think that, unfortunately, this is the announcement that millions, well, for starters, it's impossible to deport millions of people. There are logistics that it just cannot happen. And anybody who works for ICE would tell you that straight away. And I'm sure that the people, the new director of ICE, is probably thinking, dear God, you know, there was a plan initially a while back to deport 10,000 people, which in itself would have, from cities around America, which in itself would have been a huge logistical operation. It's 4 years ago since he came down that escalator in Trump Tower and was calling Mexicans rapists and murderers and everything else to gin up his base. But I don't think he's going to have to work that hard, Matt. I think there are probably 35% to 40% of American people, in any case, the electorate, who will not vote for anybody else except for Donald Trump. It doesn't matter who the alternative candidate is. It doesn't matter who the Democrats put up. There's probably another 5% Republicans who won't be able to bring themselves to vote for a Democrat. I think he's got a very solid base that he's starting from. He could very easily win this race. I completely agree with Cal. Polls at this stage are a meaningless waste of time and a distraction. Nobody, it's easy to say in the abstract that you'd vote for Joe Biden when you don't even know if Joe Biden will be the candidate. I mean, I find Donald Trump's fury about the whole thing and his dismissal of Fox as fake news now because he didn't like their report on the polls. But the polls are completely meaningless, and polls this far out should be just completely ignored.
Okay, do you think, Cal, is he likely to start a war with Iran? Or could it be, to give him his due, that he could be the one who would actually stop the warmongers around him, like John Bolton, from starting the war against Iran because he's no interest in foreign wars?
Yeah, well, of course, during the campaign, Matt, of course, he was critical of presidents who would get engaged in foreign adventures and wars overseas, and said we needed to fix the problems in America first before we get involved in other conflicts. And I think he was right then. I'm kind of concerned. I'm very concerned, actually, about this business and ratcheting up the conflict with Iran. The State Department says it has proof, where have we heard that before, with weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. It has proof that Iran planted mines in the Persian Gulf that blew up several oil tankers. It says it has proof that Iran was behind a strike on an American drone, which was monitoring the action against the oil tankers. I don't see the purpose in all of this. I know Iran is the biggest sponsor of terrorism in the world, and something needs to be done about it. And the mullahs who have repressed their people for years think they have a mandate from Allah to destroy Israel, to destroy the West, and impose their view of Islamic law in the world. So that's a problem. But I don't think another military confrontation is what we need. We still got Afghanistan. Iraq is still a little more stable, but still unstable. And, you know, what's the purpose of all of this?
Yeah, Marion McCone, could it be possible that he does have around him people like John Bolton, who was instrumental, or one of those instrumental, in the Bush attack on Iraq, as now one of his chief policy people, but that Trump himself will pull back from war?
I don't think that Donald Trump has any appetite for war. I think he has an appetite for bluster and empty threats, as we've seen so far throughout his tenure. His national security advisor, John Bolton, has been ginning up and really gunning for a war with Iraq for a very long time now. His Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, has just been speaking about it, and there's been a lot of tension, it seems, well, certainly contradiction between Pompeo and Trump about Iran. And Mike Pompeo has just spoken, and he seems to indicate that, you know, to be ratcheting down the rhetoric. Donald Trump himself said that the attacks were very minor. So he certainly seems like he correctly, to give him his due, has very little interest in a war with Iran, which would achieve nothing except for unimaginable carnage in the region and to no end. Yes, you know, Iran is a sponsor of terrorism, but there are plenty of sponsors of terrorism in the region. You know, Cal's right, this would be a catastrophe, and I don't think Donald Trump will make this mistake. You know, he has said before that if you want to improve your ratings, your polls, go to war, you know, speaking about Obama and Clinton, but I don't think America has seen from bitter experience now the never-ending wars that it's involved in Afghanistan and in Iraq.
Actually, a listener, Cal, wants me to ask you, is Iran really the biggest state sponsor of terrorism? Is it not Saudi Arabia, the country to which Donald Trump seems so enamoured?
Well, yeah, they certainly have had a role in this with the Wahhabi view of Islam, the most radical kind, the printing of textbooks, the anti-Semitic media and statements and sermons by many of their preachers. And yes, they were behind the people who attacked America on 9/11, 2001. Yes, but I think that, you know, the evidence is, at least what I've seen, that Iran is even a bigger sponsor of terrorism. But it's all part of the same piece, Matt. It's all part of a radical Islam that believes in a world domination.
The United States has picked sides. The United States is on the side of Saudi Arabia. Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, running off doing deals with them. And lots of arms shipments going to Saudi Arabia. You've just picked your side.
That's right. Well, that's because Saudi Arabia is the natural enemy of Iran, and the policy of the United States has been for some time to keep Saudi Arabia strong as a deterrent and a balance, along with Israel, against Iran.
My enemy's enemy is my friend. Let's hear a little bit of the Twitter video released on Sunday by O.J. Simpson.
Hey, Twitter world. You know, for years, people have been able to say whatever they want to say about me with no accountability. Now I get to challenge a lot of that BS and set the record straight. More importantly, I'll be able to talk about everything, especially sports, fantasy football, and even politics. But for now, let me just say to my fellow fathers out there, happy Father's Day, and God bless.
Right. Marion McKeown, what do we make of that?
Well, I'm still not convinced that it's not a fake video, to be quite honest. It's just, you know, just when you think things can't get any crazier, they always do. And apparently O.J. Simpson has already got 650,000 followers and counting. I'm at a loss, frankly. I hope Cal can shed some light on it.
The ball has been passed to you, Cal.
I'll try, yes. It is another example, Matt and Marion, of celebrity triumphing over everything else. It's not why you're known. It's only that you're known. Find a cure for cancer. Be a mass murderer. Doesn't matter in America.
Thank you very much, Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas, for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.